The American steel industry says it's fighting for its survival. Since 1997, 28 companies have filed for bankruptcy protection. These include the nation's third and fourth largest producers. The Bush administration is preparing to try to rescue the industry by imposing new tariffs on imports. But it's also hoping to get at the root of the problem, a global glut of steel. This week, representatives from the United States and other major steel-producing nations met in Paris and agreed to gradually trim their capacity to manufacture steel. NPR's Kathleen Schock reports.
The agreement reached in Paris was unprecedented. Officials pledged to try to cut as much as 97.5 million tons of steel capacity by the year 2010. They aim to do this by allowing the market to weed out the least efficient producers. Brink Lindsey, Director of Trade Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, welcomes this.
It's better for governments to at least recognize that, hey, we've got some market obstacles that are preventing uneconomic firms from exiting the market, and we think if those obstacles were removed, we would see this kind of reduction. I mean, that's certainly progress compared to government saying there's no problem in our market at all, everything's fine.
But Lindsey says there's no guarantee that steel production will actually fall or that governments will slash the subsidies, loans, and trade barriers that keep otherwise uncompetitive producers in business. No country wants to see its domestic steel industry destroyed. That's certainly true of the U.S. Even though it adamantly favors free trade, the Bush administration is making special allowances for steel. It used U.S. trade law to launch an investigation of cheap imports and is now poised to impose tariffs on key products ranging from 5% all the way up to 40%. Lawmakers like Michigan Democrat David Bonnier say the sooner the president acts, the better. Bonnier says recently plants in the U.S. have been closing at the rate of one every 9 days.
How can this nation stand by and watch us lose an industry that is so vital to the national strength of this country, to our national security? It's time to take action, and I urge the president to impose the maximum tariff on the flood of foreign steels.
Steel-producing states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, and Michigan could be big swing states in the next presidential election, so the president can't afford to ignore their economic woes. Threatening new tariffs gives the Bush administration a certain amount of leverage, according to Jim Durling, a trade lawyer with Wilkie, Farr, and Gallagher. He says exporters want the huge U.S. market to stay open, and the best way to keep it open is to stop flooding the globe with so much excess steel.
If countries follow through on their commitments, if we reduce inefficient capacity, if we close inefficient steel mills around the world, then I think the environment in the future will be a lot more constructive and there'll be less of a need for artificial trade restrictions.
But there's a catch. If the U.S. goes ahead and imposes tariffs soon, other nations won't like it, Durling says.
I think a number of other countries, in particular the European Union, has been quite clear that they don't want to take this step if they're doing it at a gunpoint, and that they would view a decision by President Bush to impose restrictions on imports as a very hostile act that was not at all conducive to focusing on the real problems.
In fact, the European Union says if the U.S. goes ahead and hikes its tariffs, the EU may back away from the pledge it made this week to reduce its capacity by 13 million tons. The Europeans have reason to worry, because if the U.S. clamps down on imports, excess steel is likely to end up pouring into Europe and hurting European firms. Despite these frictions, there's a growing consensus that something must be done. Last year, the industry rolled out 40 million more tons of steel than users around the world needed. Consumers and industries that buy steel benefited, but for steel producers, it was a disaster. Kathleen Chalk, NPR News, Washington.